We're on the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph, which is the daf for today. And we're about 9 lines down from the top, Ella Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says the following: Mi garam lechatzero she'asru batim v'leka. So we have the following scenario. We have batim that lead into chatzeros, and from those chatzeros, they spill into the mavu. And Rav makes a distinction between a case where they made an error of chatzeros and a case where they did not. And paradoxically, Rav says that if they made an error of chatzeros, then you're not allowed to carry in this mavu. And the reason for that is the following. What we're afraid of is the following scenario. We're going according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that when you have a system of chatzeros, of courtyards, that lead into, spill into a mavui, a common alleyway, then you're allowed to carry from the chatzeros into the mavui, or vice versa. That's not a problem according to Rabbi Shimon. Our Gemara is reflecting Rabbi Shimon. However, here's where we have a problem. And that is that if you had kelim, you had vessels that were konish visa in the batim, that means with the onset of Shabbos, they were located in the bayis, in any one of the batim, then you're not allowed to carry such an utensil from a chotzer into a mavui, because although you made an erev chatzeros and the batim and the chotzer become one, so you can carry from the batim into the chatzeros, but you cannot carry that same object that was kona shvisa with the onset of Shabbos inside the bayis and take it out into the mavui. Why? Because they didn't make what's called a shituf muvos. So although all the batim are one, as far as the chatzeros are concerned, they don't have any relationship to the mavui. They never made what's called a shituf muvos. Now, here's the paradox. Because they made an eruv, which is called an eruv chatzeros, what you'll find in the chatzer during the course of Shabbos is many utensils that were inside the bayis with the onset of Shabbos. And the reason for that is since they made an erev chatzeros, they can freely carry from the batim into the chatzeros, because the erev chatzeros unifies the batim with the chatzeros. Now, because there are a number of kelim that were kona shvisa in the bayis that now find themselves in the chatzer as a result of the erev chatzeros, there's a real serious chashash, a suspicion that maybe he would take one of those kelim and bring it out to the mavui. Because again, we're going according to Rav Shimon now, who holds that you're allowed to carry freely from the chatzeros into the mavui. The only problem is that you can only carry kelim from the chatzeros into the mavui if those kelim were found in the chatzer at the onset of Shabbos. But now, as a result of your erev chatzeros, you have a number of kelim that you took out of the batim during the course of Shabbos into the chatzeros. And you might be tempted, without remembering, to take these utensils from the chatzer into the mavui. Normally, that would be perfectly okay according to Rav Shimon. The problem here is that because of the din of Shvisa, those kelim that were kona Shvisa in the batim, if there was no shituf muvos, cannot be taken from the chatzer into the mavui. If, on the other hand, they had not made an erev chatzeros, that means that any of the kelim that they find in the chatzeros were clearly in the chatzeros from the onset of Shabbos. It's not possible to find even one single keli in the chatzer that was kona shvisa in the bayis, because there was never an erev chatzeros. If there was never an erev chatzeros, you would be enjoined from taking anything out from the bayis into the chatzer. So since there is absolutely no possibility of finding kelim in the chotzer that were not there from the beginning of Shabbos, because they were taken out into the chotzer from the bayis during the course of Shabbos, that's impossible. There was no Erev Chatzeros. Therefore, we can rest assured that all the kelim that we find in the chotzer were in the chotzer from the beginning of Shabbos. And according to Reb Shimon, you're allowed to take those kelim from the chotzer freely into a mavui. So that's the answer to this paradox that the Gemara is offering in the name of Rav Ashi to explain Rav, that Rav would say that dafka because they made an Erev Chatzeros, that's why you're not allowed to carry into the Mavui from the Chatzer, because you may indeed, as a result of the Erev Chatzeros, be carrying Kalim from the Chatzer into the Mavui, which were Kona Shvisa on the onset of Shabbos inside the Bat. All that is a completion of the sugya that we started yesterday. And as I mentioned to you in passing yesterday, that this sugya is like a mini summary of Masechta Erevin. You know, so whatever we got. Now we're going to get back to our sugya, which is Rav Elezer de Mila. And let's just review what we know. If, let's say, he has no Ismail on Shabbos to perform the Mila, and he has to take it through a Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Eliezer allows that, and the reason for that is because Rabbi Eliezer holds that Machshirei Mila Dochim Es HaShabbos, that not only is the Mila itself override the Shabbos, but even that which is necessary, an introductory medium step which is necessary to get to the Mila, namely to get myself at Ismail, that also is overrides the Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let's just make sure everybody has the place. We're now on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph. And we are 10 lines down from the top. And the first word in the line is Lechatzeros. Lo lakol Amar Rabbi Eliezer Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos. Not with regard to every single mitzvah do we say that a preparatory stage is Doche Shabbos. So let's say, for example, if the first day of Sukkos would coincide with Shabbos, then would you be allowed, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to take a lulav from a Rishus HaRabim, carry it four amos, in order to shake the lulav? That's called Machshirei Lulav. Or for that matter, would you be allowed to carry schach through a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos of Sukkos in order to build your sukkah, so that you can be in the midst of sukkah? And Rabbi Yochanan says that we're going to have to check out every single mitzvah unto itself and investigate it under the microscope and see whether or not the machshirim of that mitzvah will be Doche Shabbos. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, let's derive it from Mila. And if Mila, Rabbi Eliezer, has a pasuk, he has a verse and a source for the fact that Machshir and Mila override the Shabbos, then let's make that into a universal principle, which is called a Binyan Av, and apply it to every single mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, Mila is different because Mila is a very special mitzvah, and we cannot extrapolate from Mila to others. So again, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say the following, that when you're studying Rabbi Eliezer, every mitzvah has to be studied unto itself and analyzed. Is there a source to prove from the Torah that Machshirin, that which is a necessary but a step that could have been done before Shabbos, but let's say you're on Shabbos and you don't have what you need for the mitzvah, would we be overriding the Shabbos? And he says the following, I'm going to prove this to you. We're going to have the issue of what's called shtei alechem. Shtei alechem are the two breads that are brought, a special bikurim karban that's brought on Chag HaTzeres, what we call Shavuos. And the issue is going to be, let's say that he did not bake the breads and it was Shabbos and it was Atzeres. It was also Chag HaShavuos. Is he allowed to bake those breads for the sake of bringing the carbon of Shtei Alechem? And that afia, that baking, is now Machshirei Mitzvah. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is going to derive as we'll soon see from Gzeirah Shavah, that it's really true. That if need be, you're allowed to bake the breads on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of Shtei Alechem if Shabbos overlaps with Atzeres, the day of Shtei Alechem. And Rabbi Yochanan's logic is, why does Rabbi Eliezer need such a pasuk, such a yalfusa, to derive it if he has a universal principle that machshiri mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, that if the mitzvah itself is fulfilled on Shabbos, then anything necessary, all the intermediary steps, would also be dochem es haShabbos? Why does he need a special gzeres hakosuv, in this case a gzeres shavah, to derive that Shtei Alechem, even Machshirim, are Doche Shabbos? Obviously, he holds that in every mitzvah, we're going to have to find a source to prove and establish that the Machshirim are Doche Shabbos. Sharei Shtei Alechem Chovas Hayom Hein. If Atzeres overrides, if Shabbos overlaps with Atzeres, then You have no choice. You can't push off Atzeres, the Shtei Alechem mitzvah, till tomorrow, or do it the day before. It's got to be on that day. That's called Chovas Hayom. V'lo lamod on Rabbi Eliezer elam gzeres shavah. Despite that fact, the permissibility of baking the Shtei Alechem on Shabbos of Atzeres comes from a gzeres shavah. There's no universal rule, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that every mitzvah, the machshir madoche Shabbos. We need a special yafusa for each mitzvah. Elam gzeres shavah. Desanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, omer minayin lemachshirei shtei alechem shedochem es haShabbos. Where do we have a source in the Torah that, if need be, we will bake the breads for the shtei alechem on Shabbos? Nemra hava bi omer, v'nemra hava b'shtei alechem. We're going to derive this in Gzeirah Shavah, Hava, Hava. There are two major karbonos that have a very similar kind or a parallel kind of effect and impact. They both are what's called Matir Chadash. They allow you to do what you have to do with the new grains from the new year's crop, the new season's crop. One is called the Omer, and that's brought on the 16th of Nisan. And that's Matir Chodesh B'Medina, which means that if I want to eat Chodesh, that's new crop, let's say, for example, we would have a summer harvest. Actually, in some countries, very few, they have a harvest that's towards the end of the spring. In the United States, for example, they have two harvest seasons. So all the five species of grains that were harvested post-Pesach are called Chadash, and they have to wait until the Omer is brought the next Pesach. So the Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan, and the Torah says, with regard to the Omer, it says, Vavesem es Omer reishis k'tzirchem. You bring the Omer, and the word is Hava. V'nemer Hava b'shtei alechem, in the parasha shtei alechem, which is a similar kind of carbon that's brought 7 weeks later, minus a day, on Chag HaShavuos, and that's called Shtei Alechem. It's also Matir Chodosh, because all the new crop is also for a Karban Mincha on the Mizbeach until after the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem is the first Karban that's brought from the five species of grains, in this case from wheat, from the new crop. And only after that Shtei Alechem is brought on the Mizbeach are we allowed to bring any subsequent Karban Mincha from the new crop. And there too it says in the Pasuk, Mimoshvosechem Taviu Lechem Tnufa. Again, the word Taviu. Mahava Hamura bi Omer Machshirim Dochemes HaShabbos Hava Hamura b'shtel Lechem Machshirim Dochem Es HaShabbos. What this means is the following. The Gemara in Menachos on Daf Ayin Beis. Ayin Beis is Rashi Tevis Azaria Berzon. Anyway, on Daf Ayin Beis in Masechet Menachos, the Gemara derives from a pasuk. It says Becharish ubekatzir tishbos, that you have to be shoveis from charish vekatzir shel reshus, but ktsira shel mitzvah is mutar on Shabbos. Now the Omer has to be brought on the mizbeach. He needs first to reap, to cut, and harvest the Omer. And the Torah is telling me that you're allowed to harvest the Omer on Shabbos. And that's called Machshirei Mitzvah. And now by virtue of Hava, we're going to derive that Shteil Lechem. If need be, we will bake the Shteil Lechem on Shabbos. So just to summarize, Rabbi Yochanan sees a paradigmic case here of Shteil Lechem that we need a source for Machshirei Mitzvah Dochemes HaShabbos, and therefore in every single mitzvah we're going to have to derive from a source that Machshirim Adochem Es HaShabbos. At this point, the Gemara analyzes the Gzeres Shavah. Now, in Gzeres Shavah, we have three possibilities. One possibility is where you have a word that appears twice, the same word or conjugated version of that word, in two different parshios. In each context, that pasuk and that word is necessary. Now we have a second category of Gzeres Shavah, and that's called Mufna. Mufna means that in a certain parsha, the word itself is superfluous. It's unnecessary. The Torah could have gotten away without it. And that gives us the springboard to look elsewhere for the same word in the Torah and create Gzeres Shavah. But that's Mufna Mitzad Echad. Then we get to the third category, which is Mufna Mishnei Tzadim, which means that the pasuk, or the word, appears in two different contexts, and each time it is superfluous, it's unnecessary. Now the difference is as follows, that in the first case, where we don't have mufna, there's no extra verse, it's not superfluous, then its subject, it's a very weak kind of gzeres shavah, very vulnerable, and it's subject to what's called a pircha. Pircha means that if we could find some distinction, and we could justify the din in case A, and that justification doesn't apply in case B, that undermines the whole, blows out of the water, the whole Gzeres Shavah. Only if it's Mufna, then we upgrade the Gzeres Shavah to a second level, and it is impervious to a Pircha. Now, what level are we up to in Mufna? So here we can have a gigantic machlokas. If it's a mufna mi tzad echad, then one opinion says that's enough to protect the power of the Gzeres Shavah against the attack of a pircha. The other man, the other, says no. In order to upgrade the level of Gzeres Shavah so it's impervious to the attack of a pircha, we need mufna mi shnei tzad. So the Gemara says the following, mufni. We're going to have to assume that this Gzeres Shavah Rabbi Eliezer of Hava Hava, comparing Shteil Lechem back to the Omer, is Mufna, di lo Mufna. If it's not Mufna, if the words that you're darshaning are not superfluous in their context, then Ikel and Mifrach, we have a Pircha. Why? Mali Omer. Omer is different, and therefore I can understand why cutting down the Omer is Doche Shabbos, because in Motza Kotzer, Shkane Motza Kotzer, Kotzer. Let's say, for example, you found some of the barley kernels that were cut. Somehow they got detached. You can't use them for the Omer. The Torah says, uktsartem. We need a Maisa Ktsira. And therefore the Maisa Ktsira is not just a classic Hechsher mitzvah, just a preliminary stage. The Ktsira is inherently, essentially part of the process. It's a mitzvah upgraded to that status. Tomar b'shtei alechem, can you compare that to shtei alechem? Shem motza kotzer eino kotzer. If, let's say, the wheat was already cut down, there's no need to cut it down again. Or if, let's say, the bread was already baked, you don't have to re-bake it. The Torah doesn't say that there's a mitzvah of a maisa ktzira, maisa fia. And therefore, is e afni mufni. Only if you can prove to me that this Gzeres Shavah has the status of a mufna, that will protect it against this pircha. So the Gemara analyzes the psukim to prove that we have a case of mufna. Michdi, it says, Ksiv in the pasuk about Vesem es Omer Reishis Ktzirchem El HaKohen. And then afterwards it says, Miyom HaVirchem es Omer Atnufa. Notice that the Torah used the word Havah not once but twice. Lovely. Why did the Torah have to repeat itself with the same lashon of Hava? We could have said Miyom HaOmer, because you've already said Haviachem. You don't have to repeat the word Haviachem. Shma Mino Lafnuye. So you see that in the parsha of Omer, the word hava is superfluous. The Gemara is not happy yet. Why? Vakati, nevertheless, mufnu mitzadechadu. You're right that the word hava is superfluous in the parish of Omer, but that's only mufnu mitzadechad. Vishamidin leila Rabbi Eliezer. Now we're trying to figure out Rabbi Eliezer. We heard another statement from Rabbi Eliezer. The Omar in Hilchus Gzeres Shava, he said that mufnu mitzadechad lemeidim. U'meshivim, underline that word of meshivim. Meshivim means we could derive a gzeir shava from mufna mitzad echad, but meshivim means we can raise a pircha, and in this case we have a pircha. So the Gemara answers, taviu ribu yahu, that in the parasha of Shtei Lechem, the word taviu is an extra word. It says in the pasuk b'moshvot sechem taviu lechem tnufa. And that word, taviu, is a superfluous word. So to make a long story short, what we have here is mufne mishnei tzadin. This is the highest level of a gzeres shava, impervious to any pircha. So you'll ask me, well, Omer is different, and I can understand why ktsira is docha Shabbos in the case of Omer. That logic doesn't compel me in the case of Shtei Lechem. The answer is, I have a gzeres shava hava, and it's mufna mishnei tzadin, and therefore it is protected and impervious to any pircha. Now we get back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that there are mitzvahs in the Torah which do not have a source, a Yalfusa, from which I could derive that Machshirim are Docha Shabbos. Which mitzvahs did Rabbi Yochanan have in mind? Because again, Rabbi Yochanan's rule in the context of Rabbi Eliezer is that if the Torah tells you and you could derive that Machshirim are Docha Shabbos, then Machshirim are Docha Shabbos. If the Torah hasn't told you that, then in the absence of that Yalfusa, we assume that Machshirim are not Docha Shabbos, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Lemute mai, ilema lemute lulav. Maybe he means to exclude the case of a lulav. Lulav means the form meaning. And let's say, for example, it's Yontif, first day of Sukkot, and it's also Shabbos. I don't have a lulav. I can go out to my local lulav tree and cut it down. But then I'm violating the Shabbos. Am I allowed to violate the Shabbos to cut down a lulav to make it accessible for me for the mitzvah lulav? So Vasanya, that can't be what Rabbi Yochanan has in mind, because lulav, says Rabbi Eliezer, lulav v'chol machshirin dochen es haShabbos. Did Rabbi Eliezer? Unbelievable. Could you imagine it's Shabbos, and you're cutting down a lulav, according to Rabbi Eliezer, from the lulav tree? V'elolim ute sukkah. Maybe what Rabbi Yochanan had in mind is the case of building a sukkah. And if I haven't built a sukkah on Erev Sukkos, and now it's Sukkos and it's Shabbos, I should build my Sukkah on Shabbos. Vasanya, we have a brisa indeed. Sukkah v'chol machshirim dochenes haShabbos, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Imagine, again, Rabbi Osei, this is so foreign to us, because we don't pasuk like Rabbi Eliezer, that you could build your Sukkah on Shabbos. Ela l'me'ute matzah, maybe baking the matzah on Shabbos would be prohibited. So imagine it's the night of the 15th of Nisan. I need matzah. I don't have matzah. I have dough. And I want to bake my dough to make my matzah. Baking on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachas. Hatan, you have a brisa that says, matzah v'chol machshirah, machshirah dochenes haShabbos, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Once again, a pillar. Something that's so foreign that you can bake matzahs on Shabbos. Bake matzahs on Shabbos if you need it for the mitzvah of matzah. Elamute shofar, right? Let's say I have to cut down the shofar from the horn of the, from the head of the ram, and it's Shabbos and it's Rosh Hashanah. Asan, you have a brisa that says shofar v'chol machshir dochenes haShabbos, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So imagine we now have the following list of cases where machshir mitzvah override the Shabbos according to Rabbi Eliezer. We have mila, we have shtei lechem, we have lulav, sukkah, matzah, and shofar. So what is the case that Rabbi Yochanan had in mind to exclude that we don't apply the principle of machshirin? Omer avad barav, lemute tzitzis litaliso, or alternatively, mezuzah lepischo. So imagine, I don't have a string of tzitzis on my beged. Maybe I have three instead of four, whatever the case may be. Now I have to tie that down. Now, to tie down the tzitzis to my beged is meleches kosher, and it violates one of the 39 melechos of Shabbos. Here's where we have no source. There is no source in the Torah that allows me to violate the Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Alternatively, mezuzah. Let's say, for example, in the case of mezuzah, he has to write the mezuzah. He doesn't have a mezuzah. Not allowed to write it on Shabbos. And Tanya Nami Hochi, I'll bring you a proof from the Brice of Veshovin. Rabbi Lezen Chachamim agree. She'im tzietz b'talis, if he tied down his tzitzis to his talis on Shabbos, or alternatively, the asa mezuzah lepischo, or he created a mezuzah for his entranceway on Shabbos. Even Rabbi Liz agrees he's chay for that, because machshire talis or tzitzis and machshire mezuzah are not docha Shabbos. Now, the next two words in the Gemara are a little bit problematic. The Gemara says, my taima. Now, on the face of it, what do you mean, my taima? Rabbi Yochanan said that in every mitzvah you need a source, and we don't have a source for machshirei talis or machshirei mezuzah, so what do you mean, my taima? And what we suggest here is that the Gemara's my taima means the following. You have a cluster of mitzvahs which are Docha Shabbos, the list of which we just mentioned. Why should talis, tzitzis, or mezuzah be excluded? In other words, let's find an underlying logical rule of thumb, and we will know when to make the equation and when not to make the equation. On Rav Yosef, l'fi she'ein kavu lehem zman. It all depends upon whether the mitzvah is urgent and can only be fulfilled on this day, which this calendar day happens to overlap with Shabbos, or I could do it the day before, I could do it the day after Shabbos, I could do it on a Friday, I could do it on Sunday. In the case of tzitzis, there's no pressing need to put your tzitzis on the beged on Shabbos. You could have done it on Erev Shabbos, and if need be, you'll postpone it till Sunday. Same thing in the case of mezuzah. It's not a time-bound mitzvah that's limited to that date, which turns out to be Shabbos. Mashen came in the list that we gave before, the entire list, the eighth day of Milo is on Shabbos, and the Shtei Alechem has to be on the Atzeres, and Sukkot, Lulav, and Sukkah has to be on that date, and that date happens to be Shabbos in this case. And the same applies to Matzah and Shofar. So what we have is, like for example, I give you a mashal in my Dover Doma. If you were to ask me, what mitzvahs a woman would be obligated in, and what would she be exempt from? The entire list of mitzvahs on Rabbi Eliezer's list that machshirim adocha Shabbos, women would be exempt from all those mitzvahs. However, in the case of mezuzah, women are obligated to mezuzah because mezuzah is not related to any specific time period. Now, in the case of tzitzis, women are exempt from tzitzis for another reason, and that has to do with Lila. Because Lila is excluded from tzitzis. But if you hold Zman tzitzis b'Lila as well, then women would be obligated. Because again, tzitzis in and of itself, if not for the exclusion of Lila, would not be a time-bound mitzvah. It says Urisim also, and therefore that makes it into a time-bound mitzvah, the exclusion of Lila. That's how we paskin. There's one man the Omer who says not like that. Omele Abaye Adarab. Abaye says, if you're looking for some pressing logic, then I would tell you on the contrary. Mide'ein kavulem zman, here we're turning to Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, if there's no specific time period, then what's the Torah telling you? That kol shaita v'shaita zmanehi, that every single moment you're obligated in the mitzvah. Don't tell me that you could have fulfilled the mitzvah to yesterday, or tzitzis you do it tomorrow, or mezuzah do it yesterday, do it tomorrow. That's not relevant over here. He needs a mezuzah. And every moment he needs a mezuzah. And it's Shabbos. He needs tzitzis on his beged. He's not walking around naked. And it's Shabbos. So what's your logic, Rav Yosef? El Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Yitzchok, let's offer a different logic entirely. Itema, others say it's Rav Huda b'Rei Rav Yeshua. Hoil ubiyado lehafkiron. There are two categories of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs which are absolute and unconditional. You are definitely chayiv in those mitzvahs. And that's the list of mitzvahs where machshirei mitzvah docha Shabbos. Then you have another cluster of mitzvahs where, if you want, you can just simply sideswipe the mitzvah. You can circumvent the obligation of the mitzvah. And that's called the Lashon the Gemara, biyado lafkiron. I'm only chayiv in mezuzah on my house, as it says, it's got to be my house. I have to have possession. If I would be mafkir my house, I would not be chayav. So too in the case of tzitzis, the Torah says, al kanfei bigdeichem, and it's got to be your bigot. This is the whole issue, by the way, of whether you make a bracha on a talis she'ula. If I borrow your talis, do I make a bracha? It's not really my talis. Or a talis of the Beis HaKnesset. The whole issue about that. But these mitzvos are biyado lafkiron. These are mitzvahs which are not absolute at all. They all are conditional on your ownership, and if you give up and you forfeit your ownership, you're not chayav in the mitzvah. So the Torah puts that kind of a mitzvah on a different level, and it's not machal Shabbos for the sake of such a mitzvah. The Torah would rather that you be mafkir your house, or mafkir your beged, in order to avoid chil Shabbos. Omar Mar, you just finished quoting a brayso that lulav v'chol machshir v'dochas haShabbos divrei Rabbi Elazar minolei l'Rabbi Elazar ha. Now that you've told me Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Elazar has to find the source for each mitzvah to know and establish whether it's machshir madocha, you've told me then that lulav, which means all four minim adocha, if I have to access the esrog and cut it off the tree and so forth and so on, hadasim aravas lulav, I violate the Shabbos for that if need be. What's the source for that? Rav Yochanan, you're assuming I need a source for each one. So now we're going to go through each one of those mitzvahs where Machshir mitzvah dochem es haShabbos and try to find the source. If you're going to tell me Omer Shtei Alechem, we've already established in the case of Omer and Shtei Alechem and Gzeir Shavah that these machshir madocha Shabbos, let that be a binyan av, what we call a bameh matzinu, from which we're going to derive lulav, is no. That's impossible. Shekein tzarech avoah. When we're talking about a mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash to bring a karbon, we already have a source, a basis for it being docha Shabbos. The Torah says, olas Shabbos b'shabbato. So in a karbon that can only be brought on Shabbos, has that opportunity, then it's Docha Shabbos. That's the Beis HaMikdash. Things go differently in the Beis HaMikdash. But lulav? Lulav is outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ella, Amar Kra, but rather, Rabbi Eliezer derives from an extra word in the Pasuk. It says, Ulakachtem lochem bayom harishon. And it could have said, Ulakachtem lochem barishon. So the word bayom harishon is superfluous, and it comes to a ribui. Bayom afilu b'Shabbos, that on this day you will bring the lulav, even if this day is Shabbos, and even if it means that you'll have to violate the Shabbos for the sake of this mitzvah. The bayom is telling me that there's an absolute obligation under all circumstances, even on Shabbos, to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav, and if need be, you will violate the Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of lulav. The Gemara says that. Let's analyze. Lamai Hilcha. So why would the Torah have to teach me that the mitzvah of lulav applies even on Shabbos with the extra word bayom? Ilema litildul. If it's telling me that, let's say, my lulav is mukta. Now, the reason why lulav would be mukta, if not for the mitzvah of lulav, is because it is an eitz. It's a piece of wood. And it doesn't have a shame kli. And that means that lulav, in the absence of the mitzvah, would be a classic muktzah. So, for example, if you have lulav from last sukkahs, and it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the lulav. It's muktzah. So maybe the Torah said by Yom to teach me that that for the sake of the mitzvah of lulav, we override the Easter of muktzah, tiltul muktzah. So the Gemara says, come on, are you joking with me? Itzrich Kral and Mishrei Tiltul? I need a pasuk in the Chumash, Bayom, to teach me that you're allowed to be metaltel Mukta. Where where do you find muktzah in the Torah? The whole institution, the whole enterprise of muktzah is a gzeres chachamim. It's a rabbinic invention. And therefore, it's impossible that the Torah would have gone out of its way with an extra word to teach me that we're allowed to move muktzah. There is no Isur muktzah. The Torah doesn't recognize, is not aware of the Isur muktzah. Ela by process of elimination, l'mach shira. It must be that the Torah wants to tell me, even on Shabbos, when in order to obtain a lulav, I would have to violate the Shabbos, I do so for the sake of the mitzvah of lulav. So the Gemara now asks Rabbanon, the Chachamim who reject Rabbi Eliezer, that's how we paskin, like the Chachamim, that machshira lulav anato chashabbos. So what are they going to do with the extra word bayom? Hahu, that extra word bayom, boile, they needed bayom velo balayla, to exclude laila, that the mitzvah of lulav only applies yom, during the day, and not balayla. It's not like matzah, which applies at night. Rabbi Eliezer, how does he know to exclude laila? Doesn't he need the word bayom? He says, "Bayom v'lo b'layla b'nolei." Where is he going to derive this exclusion of layla? Nafkele, he derives it from the pasuk, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim." That with the lulav, we fulfill the mitzvah of simcha lifnei Hashem for 7 days, yomim v'lo leilos. For Rabbanan, why can't Rabbanan derive the exclusion of layla in lulav from the same pasuk? Itzrich, I need it. Salka daitcha mina nelif shivas yomim isukah. I might have equated the shivas yomim in the pasuk of lekachtem lachem. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim from the same parallel pasuk in sukkah where it says shivas yom besukas teishevu teishvu. Mala halon. Just like in the case of sukkah, I would say by equation is yomim vafilu leilos. There's no difference whatsoever between day and night as far as the mitzvah of sukkah is afkan. Here too, in the case of lulav, where it says also shivas yomim is yomim vafilu leilos. Kamash malon, if I need the pasuk by yom to teach me that lulav is not like sukkah, and that shivas yomim means by yom, meaning yom and not leil. So Gemara yasa kash and avalichel rachmona belulav v'nesei hanoch v'nelfu minayu. In other words, why do you tell me that Omer and Shtei Alechem are derived from special Yalfuses to teach me that Machshir Madoche Shabbos, now that you have a precedent in the case of Lulav, which you derive, Rabbi Eliezer, from the Pasuk Bayom, even on Shabbos, for the Machshirin, you violate the Shabbos, then how much more so in the case of Kodshim, of Karbanos? So why do you look so hard, Rabbi Eliezer, to find the source for Kodshim? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Dikol Mifrach Malu Lulav Shekein Ton Arba Minim. Lulav is on a special level. We don't find too many mitzvahs, if any at all, that require more than one object. Every mitzvah has a Cheftzeh Shel Mitzvah. In the case of Lulav, you have 4 Cheftzeh Mitzvah. And it's almost as if you're fulfilling 4 different mitzvahs. Even though I have to tell you that the ma'akvim is you cannot, it's critical that you have all 4. It's 4 or bust. You know, if your child can only ask 3 kashas on the night of Sukkot, on the night of Pesach, we'll let him get away with 3 or even 1. Let him ask his question. But in the case of lulav, it's all 4. But nevertheless, there are 4 different cheftzeh mitzvah. Each one has its own unique role and contribution, and the sum total of which makes this entity called Ulekachtem Lachem, the mitzvah of lulav. That puts lulav on a very, very high level. And therefore, I could not derive any other mitzvah from lulav. Lulav cannot serve as the precedent for any other mitzvah. Tosfos here has a very interesting problem. Divrei Maskil Shekein, and Tosfos raises the problem that in Omer and Shtei Alechem there are also many different Cheftzeh Mitzvah. For example, with the Shtei Alechem we need an accompaniment of Shnei Kvasim, 2 little lamps. And in the case of Omer we need at least 1 Keves. Not only that, we need Yayin for Nisuch. We need Shemen for Menachos. So that Shtei Alechem and the Omer are accompanied by many, many different Cheftzeh Mitzvah. In that sense, they are very similar to Sukkah. And Tosfos answers that in the case of Lulav, all 4 Cheftzes, all 4 Mitzvahs are Ma'akvim Zetzeh. It's an all or nothing preposition. But in the other cases, those are accompaniments, like Shemen and Yayin, Kvasim. And they're very nice embellishments of the mitzvah to accompany the mitzvah, but they're not critical to the mitzvah. Sukkah v'chol machshira dochenes a Shabbos tivri Rabbi Eliezer minola and Rabbi Eliezer ha. How does Rabbi Eliezer know that I'm allowed to build, if necessary, my sukkah on Shabbos? And the answer is, if you're going to tell me now, the Gemara is going to reject this possibly. May Omer shteil lechem. And the answer is shekein tzor kavah. Those are cases of korbanos that are brought in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore they're on a very high level of machshir madocha Shabbos. Imi lulav shekein ton arba minit. Lulav is on a very special level because it has four different minit. Ela, but rather gomar shivas yamim mi lulav. Just like in Sukkah it says Shivas Yomim, so to Lulav it says Shivas Yomim. Mala Halon, just like in the case of Lulav, Machshirin Dochenes HaShabbos, that we derive from the extra Pasuk Vayom, so that in order to obtain a Lulav, I will violate the Shabbos when necessary. Afkan here to Sukkah, if I don't have a Sukkah, then building a Sukkah, Nami, so too, Machshirin, Machshirin Dochenes HaShabbos. V'licho Rachmano V'Sukkah, V'Nesei Hanuch V'Nigmar Minayim. Now that you've had this source for Machshirei Sukkah Dochemes HaShabbos, let's use that as a Bamei Matzinu, as a precedent to which we're going to learn, let's say, Shteil Lechem and Omer. And the answer is, Mishum Bikol Mifrach Malus Sukkah Shekeino Heges Balelos Kivayomim. The mitzvahs of Omer and Shteil Lechem are limited to daytime, whereas the mitzvah of Sukkah is very unique, and the Torah is so upgraded the mitzvah sukkah to the extent that it applies both by day and by night. Matzah v'chol machshirei dochenes haShabbos to Rabbi Lezer. I'm allowed to bake my matzahs if need be on Shabbos. Minole Rabbi Lezer. What's the source for that? And the whole sukkah, again, the framework is predicated on Rabbi Yochanan's premise that in every single mitzvah we need a source for machshirim. If you're going to derive it from an equation, Torah Shteil Lechem, Shekein, Tzorek Avah, that was the case of Karbonus in the Migdash. If you're going to derive it from Lulav, Shekein Ton Arba Minim, Lulav is on a high level, you have four different Minim. If Sukkah, Shekein Oheges Balailos, Kibayomim, and Matz is only Balaila, Ela, but rather, Gomar, Chamisha, Sar, Chamisha, Sar, Michagas, Sukkos. This is a famous Gzer Shava. In the yeshiva world, it's called 2-2. I don't know if you ever heard it. Tesvav, Tesvav. That in both Sukkah and in Matzah, the Torah says, Chamisha, Sar. It's always on the 15th, 15th of Tishrei, the 15th of Nisan, and that gives us a Gzer Shava. Malahalan, just like in the case of Sukkah, Machshireha Dochenes HaShabbos, Afkan, so too in the case of Matzah, Machshireha Dochenes HaShabbos. So Gemara asks, V'lichtov Rachmona v'Matzah, now that you've derived Matzah, that you're baking the Matzah, overrides the Shabbos, is Nesei Hanuch v'Nigmar Mineh? Let's derive all the other cases, like Omer and Shteil Lechem, Lulav and Sukkah, let's derive all of them, the whole bunch from Matzah. And the answer is, Mishum V'Yikol Mifrach Ma'ala Matzah, Shkeno Heges V'Noshim Kiva Noshim. Any other time-bound mitzvah is limited to the menfolk. But in the case of matzah, women are included. And this is derived from a special equation between matzah and chametz. All who are included in the Isser chametz are therefore, ipso facto, included in the mitzvah of matzah. Women are included in the mitzvah of matzah. That puts matzah on a very unique level. In the case, for example, of lulav, or sukkah, or shofar, women are exempt. But in matzah, you would have thought that women were exempt, but women are included. That puts matzah on a very high level. So it's the fact that in matzah, the machshirin, you're allowed to bake matzah on Shabbos, if need be, that doesn't prove anything about the other mitzvahs, because matzah is on a very high level, and it's chayiv, and women are also chayiv. Then the Braisa continues and says, Shofar v'chol machshirei dochenes haShabbos, divrei Rabbi Eliezer minolei Rabbi Eliezer ha. What's the source that for the mitzvah of shofar we can override the Shabbos? Imi Omer u'shtei lechem, if you're going to tell me, let's derive by analogy to Omer u'shtei lechem, shekein tzor kavod, those are karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah puts that on a very special level. Imi lulav, that's upgraded, shekein tunim, arba minim, the four minim. Imi sukkah, ishekein noheges balayla, ubki kiviyomim. Shofar is only by yom and not balayla. Imi matzah, shekein noheges binoshim, kivan noshim. Women are obligated in matzah, but they're not obligated in shofar. Ela Omar Kra, we have to derive from a pasuk, and this pasuk we read just a few days ago. It says, "Uvacholish hashvi b'yechol chodesh," on the seventh month, which is Tishrei, on the first of the month, Yom Truah Yeh Lachem, and that's going to teach me that by Yom Arishon L'Chodesh Hashvi Afilu V'Shabbos. Right, the Torah went out of its way to tell me Yom Afilu V'Shabbos. And again, the pasuk could have said Shrua. It says B'Echad L'Chodesh Shrua Yilachem. Echad L'Chodesh already identifies the day. Why do you have to say B'Yom? To teach you even on Shabbos. Ulamai. Well, why do I need an extra ribui to tell me shofar applies even on Shabbos? Elam, if you're going to tell me. Litkia, if you're going to tell me that Tkia itself is a violation of Shabbos. Now, I'm not sure exactly what the Haba mean in the Gemara is. Why would Tkia fit into one of the 39 Malachos? But let's just say that we derive the Malachos of Shabbos from Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, they blew the shofar, they blew the chatzotzos, different occasions. Hatana de Beis Shmuel, and we have a brisa from the Beis Medrash of Shmuel. It says, "Kol melechas avodah lo sasu." In a parsha of Rosh Hashanah, the Torah emphasizes that it's got to be a melechas avodah. That extra adjective of avodah is critical. Yotzat ki yashofer dias pashi chachma veinu melacha. That although it takes a certain expertise to blow the shofar, but that's a chachma, that's not a malacha. Malacha means you've changed something in the physical universe, but you didn't change anything by blowing a shofar, you produced a sound. Then it's something called Rediyas HaPas, which is a whole chachma. If you ever go to, in Derech Hevron, for example, there's a store that sells pizza, it's called Agvania. So you'll watch the way they make the pizza. They have the Italian method there, but you'll see Rediyas HaPas if you look carefully. What they do is they in the ovens, and this was very common in the Talmudic time, they had the dough, and what they did was when the oven was burning hot, they would take the dough and sort of plaster it, so to speak, on the side of the oven, which was very hot. And it took an expert to know how to take it out of the side without ruining the pas. But all this is a chachma, that's not a malacha. You know, putting the dough into the oven, that's a malacha mafia. But taking it out, that's not a malacha, that's a chachma. So therefore, why would the Torah have to tell me that shofar overrides the Shabbos? Well, shofar is not a malacha. Ela l'machshirin. It must be a case of machshirin. Let's say you have a horn that's growing on top of the animal, and it's a ram, let's say, and now you want to cut it down. Well, that's a violation of Shabbos. And that might be Makom HaPatish, might be Meleches Kotzer, but whatever it is, it's a violation of the Shabbos. And it will override the Shabbos, and that's derived, according to Rabbi Eliezer, from the extra word, Yom. For Rabbanon, the Rabbanon who hold that Machshirin are not, Machshirin Shofar, for example, are not Docha Shabbos, what do they do with the word Yom? Hahu, that Posig Yom, Iboile, we need it by Yom Velo Belayla. So that we exclude Lila, that the mitzvah of shofar is not like matzah, which applies at night, it only applies during the day. Rabbi Eliezer, by Yom Velo Belayla Minolan, how does he exclude Lila from shofar? After all, he needs the word by Yom to be matir machshirin. Nafgalei derives it from another pasuk. The pasuk says, B'yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar B'chol Artzachem. And here's another mitzvah of shofar that applies once every 7 years. I'm sorry, once every 50 years on Yom Kippur. And the Torah went out of its way to say Bayom. So here we have Shofar and Bayom. And the word Bayom is coming to exclude Lila. And I don't need a pasuk in Shofar on Rosh Hashanah to exclude Lila. I'm derived from the Shofar of Yom Kippur where the Torah explicitly says Bayom. In fact, the Gemara Vegamri Ma'adodi. Oh, I'm sorry, this is the end of the previous statement. And we're going to derive by equation Tkiyah Shofar Rosh Hashanah from the midst of Tkiyah Shofar of Yovel once in 50 years on Yom HaKippur. You might ask, V'lichto Rachmona B'Shofar V'Leisu Hanach V'Ligmu Minayu. Why isn't the Torah just write the word by Yom to allow Machshiri Shofar to be Docha Shabbos, then we'll derive everything else from Shofar. For example, we could derive Shteil Lechem and Omer, Matzah, Sukkah, Lulav, the whole gamut. And the Gemara answers, Mitki Shofar Rosh Hashanah Lekel Ledmigmar, Shekein Machneses, Zichrono Shel Yisrael, Avim Shebashamayim. Shofar is perhaps one of the, if not the most unique mitzvahs of all the mitzvahs, because as a result of shofar, the memory, so to speak, again in Kavi Yochel, goes in front of the Almighty God, that He should remember us on Rosh Hashanah for good, and that's derived from, and that's the essential, unique, upgraded description of this unique mitzvah called Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Mitkia Shofar the Yom Kippur. So maybe we have already the word Yom in Yom Kippur. Maybe that should be the source for Machshirin. Lekel Migmar, we can't derive it from the Tkia Shofar of Yovel, because that's also very Choshev the Yom Mar. We have a brice that says Tiku Bezdin B'Shofar Niftu Avodim L'Bateim V'Sados Chozos L'Baleim. A lot depends and is generated by that tkiya. That tkiya of the shofar in Yom Kippur once in 50 years will free the slaves and all the original owners of their fields who were compelled to sell their fields will now regain ownership of their field. That's a tremendous mitzvah. And that's why Machshirim would be Docha Es HaShabbos. What about Mila? Rabbi Eliezer, that's the opening mission of our perek. V'chol mila v'chol machshir dochen es haShabbos. The Rabbi Eliezer, minolei the Rabbi Eliezer, huh? What's the source that machshirei mila? If I don't have an ismel, I can carry it through Rishus HaRabim, or I can manufacture a knife. Imi kula gomar. Why not say we'll derive mila from any of the other mitzvahs, each of which has its own source, that machshirei nadocha Shabbos? And the answer is that there's always a chumrah, a special upgraded status to each one of those mitzvahs, whether they're kodshim, in the case of Omer v'shteil lechem, whether or not in the case of lulav, you have all four minim, in the case of sukkah, it's noeg even balayla, in the case of matzah, even women are obligated, in the case of shofar, it's malah zichroneim shel Yisrael lifnei avim shebashamayim. V'od, and furthermore, malah hala lehanoch. And here we're going to look at Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Alef. Shekein im avar zmano b'teila. In the case of Mila, again, you have to be mal on the eighth day, but it's not the worst catastrophe in the world if he wasn't circumcised in the eighth day, so the mitzvah Mila continues. Ad infinitum. Mashen kein shteil lechem, omer, lulav, sukkah, shofar, matzah, and all the rest. It's absolutely critical. It's urgent. There's no opportunity to fulfill any of those mitzvahs after the Zmano, after that Shabbos. Elohaini Tami to Rabbi Eliezer, Diyamakra, Bayom Hashmini. Again, that extra word, Bayom. Bayom Hashmini, Yimol Besar Loso. And what does Bayom teach me? Afilu B'Shabbos. So the extra word, Bayom, is coming to teach me Machshirei Mila. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to try to clarify. Maybe I need Bayom Hashmini to teach me that the Mila itself is Docha Shabbos. I might think that if the eighth day is on, the baby was born on Shabbos, and the eighth day is on Shabbos, that we should postpone the Mila. So for that, I need the word Bayom. But how do I know that Bayom even includes Machshirei Mila? Okay, that's going to be the next piece of Gemara. But the licht of Rahmana bin Mila, now that you've told me that Machshirei Mila, the Ismael, and so forth, is Docha Shabbos, is let's use Mila as our prototype, as our paradigm to derive all the other mitzvahs. Let's take all of those mitzvahs and derive it from Mila. And the Gemara answers, Mishum deikol mifrach malah Mila shkein nichrasu aleh shloshes rei brisos. In the parasha in Lech Lecha of Mila, Avram is commanded in the mitzvah of Mila, and the word bris appears no less than 13 times in that parasha. You can go count it when you have time. And therefore, Mila is on a very high level, and that's why Machshirei Mila docha Shabbos, but that has no impact, and you cannot derive any other mitzvah. So let's just make a note of where we got up to today. We're on the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, And we're up to Ad Kan Lo Pligi, the two dots which follow a line which are on 2, 4, 6, a line 6 from the top. Okay then? All right. Everyone should have a great day.
I'm at base. I think you said that we pass in the Pichachomim, Machshirei Mitzvah, Lo Dochim.